The first reading tonight begins with a rather extraordinary declaration. If you wish, you can keep the commandments. Now, given the reverence that the commandments had within the Jewish mindset, and remember that in the first five books of Scripture that we call the Torah or the Pentateuch, you find no less than
613
mitzvah, these commandments. 365 of them are prohibitions, things that you shall not do. 248 are prescriptions, things that you shall do. You shall keep holy the Sabbath day. You shall honor your father and your mother. 613 commandments. And the author of our first reading, the book of Sirach, the wisdom of Jesus, the son of Sirach, says that if you want to, if you choose to, you can keep the commandments. I don't know about you, but that certainly hasn't been my experience. I have found myself incapable of living that kind of life, of being able to faithfully say, yes, I've lived this day, or particularly over a longer course of time, you know, a week or a month or a year, and say, yes, I have been faultless throughout the course of this year. I have been able to satisfy and fulfill every little single dot and stroke of the law, and how I have lived it so completely and so perfectly that I stand before you blameless. No, never. Never is that been the case in my life. These commandments, as Paul says, as he struggles with the fulfillment of the law, particularly in the letter to the Romans in chapter 7, he says, you know, I find myself incapable of doing any of these things, of being faithful completely to the law. Whenever I consider the law, all I discover is that I am under judgment by the law, because according to the law, I'm a sinner. According to the law, I'm unfaithful. And yet then Jesus begins his teaching in this section of this fifth chapter of the Gospel of Matthew by telling us that I did not come to abolish the law of the prophets, the shorthand for the whole of the Old Testament. No, but rather to fulfill them, to complete them, to bring them into the purpose for which they were originally intended. And then he sets about this series of what they call the six antitheses, these statements, these declarations where you have heard how it was said in the law, in the Torah, in this beautiful teaching that is there as the great accomplishment of Israel, the thing that they rightly are very proud of, to be able to say, look at these mitzvah, how beautiful, how wonderful, how complete and perfect they are. And Jesus then says, you've heard how it was said, but I say to you, placing himself in authority over the Torah, placing himself above this reverenced and sacred text, the most extraordinary thing for anybody to do. And yet Jesus claims such powerful authority over the reverenced and awe-filled scriptures of the people of God. Sometimes, of course, he takes these commandments and makes them even stricter. So we have the first four of these antitheses this week. We get the last two next Sunday. And so in the first, the second, and the fourth, he takes what these commandments are. You have heard it said, you shall not kill. But I say to you, if any of you have ever experienced anger in your heart, in your life, then you are guilty of breaking this commandment. Anyone ever been angry in the church? Anyone ever had that moment when you're driving or when the computer is just not working the way that you want it to work and you're just like, It's a fascinating thing. The game, I didn't ever actually get to play it, Flappy Bird, that the creator of the game banned or withdrew it from being able to be available because it was so addictive and so many people got frustrated and so many people blamed it for the destruction of their smartphones, for throwing them out windows, and all kinds of things happen because of this one game. And so it's been off the market. Bizarre and amazing all at the same time. And I so want to be able to download and play this game to see why it's so frustrating. Anyway, this anger, this thing that sits in our hearts. You know, so many of the commandments are there simply as external observances, things that we can easily see. Have you been faithful to this? Have you killed anyone? No. Have you committed adultery? No. Have you stolen anything? No. And yet, when we read through, the Ten Commandments, the Decalogue, as you find them there in the 20th chapter of the book of Exodus, particularly as we read them in our English Bibles, that are translations of the Hebrew text, and there you find that the first of the four commandments are about our relationship with God. And the next five commandments are about our relationship with one another. Things that you can measure, things that you can see, things that you can say, yes, I've kept the Sabbath rule. I haven't taken the name of God in vain. I haven't built an altar or an idol to a false God. Yes, I've been faithful to those. But then the final commandment, the 10th commandment, or in the Catholic tradition, the 9th and 10th commandment, because we translate from the Greek scriptures, not the Hebrew scriptures. But this final one is about our attitudes, our heart. Do you covet the things that your neighbor has? Do you covet your neighbor's wife? These objects that no one can tell whether you're coveting right now. No one can tell if you're angry right now. No one can tell if there's such a passion and a burning within you right now. We can't see on the outside. So Jesus is taking this commandment that might seem rather obvious. Have you killed anyone? Will you be able to stand before a court of law and say, no, I'm not guilty of the charges? If it's just about physical death, then hopefully most of us are able to say, yes, I'm innocent of this. But when Jesus takes this commandment and drives it home into the category of our heart and the experience of our heart, He's convicting every single one of us. Well, maybe I'm projecting, but I think at least He's convicting every single one of us here that we are guilty of this commandment. We have breached this commandment. Then the third of the commandments that He gives, this commandment about divorce. And you were heard in the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 24 that Moses gave people an out. He gave them an opportunity to divorce their wives. And Jesus says, no, that wasn't the original intention in the first place. But to get that teaching, you really need to read the commandment, what Jesus says before and after. Because the second thing that He talks about is committing adultery. And again, most people hopefully are not guilty of this offense. But Jesus takes this offense and drives it into an experience that I'm sure most of us, at least, particularly if you're old enough, have had this sense of lusting after other people, treating women particularly as objects, this powerful affliction that is in our society where we don't honor and respect one another, and particularly where women are made more vulnerable than they should be, and women are exploited particularly through pornography and all kinds of other things that strike at the very heart of our society. Men, of course, are also there in the form of exploitation and all kinds of things where we don't honor and respect one another in the way that God originally intended for us. And so there's this whole sense of an inordered appreciation, and our desires are not rightly directed towards this experience of love. But the fourth one is, neither do we tell the truth. Neither are we honest with ourselves. I'm sure that if married couples were able to avoid any area of lust, if they're able to truly love the spouse with the same heart and love that they have or that God has for them, if they're able to be always honest in that relationship, if they're always able to tell the truth, then this thing about divorce would not be an issue in the church or the world. If we're able to fulfill these two commandments, then surely we would find life and freedom and the original purpose and plan that that God has for us. In all of these things, this call is not just to an acknowledgement of our failures and the truth that none of us are able to stand before the throne room of God and be innocent and declare that, yes, I'm able to save myself, I'm able to get it all together, I'm able to keep the commandments as the book of Sirach invited us to. But it's the truth that none of us can. None of us are able to do this. So where is the hope? The hope is in Jesus. The hope is in his life. The hope is in the reconciliation that he begins to bring about. Because when we look at Jesus, we see someone who has completely and perfectly fulfilled the law and opened for us the way to do this in our own lives, in our own experience. Not simply by putting our heads down and working and striving ever harder to fulfill these commandments, but in seeking that perfection that only comes from him. The perfection that only comes as a gift, as sheer and utter grace, as we'll see next Sunday when we hear Matthew 5:48, that we're called to perfection, we're called to life, we're called to freedom in him. That is the gift of these antitheses. This is the gift of what this teaching of Jesus is about. To say, yes, all of us are guilty, all of us fail, and yet the Lord invites us to freedom. The Lord invites us to life. Let's allow the Lord indeed to call us out of our failure into the fulfillment of the law, into the perfection of who we are in him, in grace, through Christ.